Well, I guess I'll start where I started to start before we went into meditation, when I mentioned about the living word. This is very interesting because really somebody such as myself or any teacher that has really walked the inner journey and has come to that point of union with God, that there are those that God asked to really share now that journey into the world. And as most of you know, that's what we're doing here in Inner Light Ministries, is really sharing about that inner journey of the soul on its return home to God. And it's through that action of the living word that we call the sacred name or the sound current, the audible life stream, the Holy Spirit, the voice of God, the music of the spheres, the Shabd, the Nam. There's so many different names throughout history and cultures, and that it's as it's been expressed and shared. And over here in the West, we tend to use more of what's applied to the West. So we'll talk about God, the Holy Spirit, the soul, and all the actions of that. But no matter where it's expressed, it's the same thing. It's the same action. It's the same pathway. It's the same movement of God's loving in that relationship that God has with each of its children, or who we are as the soul. And so this journey that we speak of here is about the journey of the soul, as God has created the soul and walked with the soul every step of the way. But when it is time in this physical creation for the soul to begin its journey home, because it's fulfilled that which it's come into this physical creation to experience, then in that turning and beginning now the journey of looking within and moving back towards God, well, that's what this pathway or this action in the world is here for. It always will be. As long as there's souls here, there's always going to be that action of the living word, the Holy Spirit, working with the souls. And so those of you that feel that stirring or that movement, that longing, that calling to really return, to really wake up and know more that divine aspect of who you are, that's what this pathway is about. And so as I share, or Jim shares in this, it's really not the personality. We've got to understand the physical beingness, the personality that we all have is just a vehicle for our soul. Well, the same thing here with the spiritual teacher. Well, the teacher has their own soul and is the personality and vehicle as well. The only other difference is that that action of grace that we call the living word then will use the vehicle, the personality, the soul of the teacher that is one with God in order to express and through every level of creation. So just as we are in the physical, we need a physical vehicle, a place by which that Holy Spirit can express into this level. In the astral realm or the realm of imagination, there needs to be a vehicle by which the Holy Spirit can express. Same thing through the emotional realm, the mental realm, the etheric realm. That's why we call it a river of loving. When you see this movement of the Holy Spirit spiritually, well, when you're meditating right here, you can see that purple or white light. It's most often seen here, or that gold or blue. Those are just different frequencies of that same one spirit, through light and through sound, or as we know it as loving. And as we pay attention to that, then in meditation, as we focus into that and open up, that's giving God permission to now work with us, be with us, enter into, to be the indwelling spirit, rather than around us, but to come into us. And it is that action that we allow in of the Holy Spirit, or that grace of God's loving, that will then begin to awaken the soul. The soul, as it has lived into this creation, has fallen asleep to its divinity and now believes itself to be part of the mind, the emotions, imagination, and body. So we think we are humans being. Are we humans being? Or are we hue being man? As we know, the word hue is a name for God. Are we the soul, the I am? the God essence, the hue, being, or in other words, being present, living, expressing through man, this human form. What is that other phrase most people are familiar with? We're not human beings having spiritual experience, but spiritual beings having human experience. Well, that's what I'm saying. But I'm just even redefining it a little more to realize the word human. Hue is God, and man is that which is the mind. And so it is a God essence of soul that is in the mind and the body here. And so that action of the Holy Spirit, when the soul is ready to really begin that journey home and awaken to its divine truth and its origins and its oneness with God, then we begin to pursue and we take the action, such as the meditation. We begin to learn about spirit and what can we do to support ourselves in this journey home. And so that action of the Holy Spirit is here to serve those souls that are ready for that. Is often been referred to as the Amritsar, the divine nectar, the manna from heaven, the milk and honey, the fishes and the loaves. All these references throughout different cultures and scriptures refer to that spiritual food for the soul, which is God feeding the soul. Often it's called in the East the Master sharing the darshan or the twaji. It is a movement of the Holy Spirit through the vehicle that the Master shares with the disciple or the soul that is anchored in this physical consciousness. So as we share, or in a lot of gatherings in the East, they always look to be in the presence of the Master because they know it is that movement of grace that works through that vehicle by which as they bring themselves present and make themselves available, that they can receive that loving that is present to be shared as God wishes to share with the soul in the physical form. It's really all about the soul, the Holy Spirit, and God. But while we're here on the physical level, there needs to be an avenue, an action, a form of expression by which that can be shared. And so that's why we gather here like this, so that we can partake, to bring ourselves present, to make ourselves available and receptive, to now receive that movement of loving. That's why we do the meditation, to go inside and connect and open up to that inner. But then even in the outer, as we hear the words, we ever want to pay attention to not only the words, because the words are meant to steer us in that direction into the divine. But if we can begin to really rather catch the frequency, the sound, as we say, the voice of the Master. But who do we say is the real Master? It's the Holy Spirit. So if we can listen even to the words like I'm sharing now, but let those words just carry us more inside of ourselves to attune with really that inner divine tuning fork, so to speak, that we begin to resonate with that frequency of loving. That's what the soul has fallen asleep to. The soul's never lost it. It's just fallen asleep to it. So in meditation and sharing, as we do here, that is meant to begin to awaken. That frequency begins to stir the soul out of its slumber, to begin to awaken it by feeding. Call it your divine coffee for that inner quickening, to begin to spark, to inspire, to begin to create a stirring of that longing. The soul knows that it is not part of this world. The soul knows it is not from here. The soul knows, even though we've forgotten. So as we gather like this, as we go inside and meditate, that's where we begin to really give ourselves the opportunity to be stirred awake. Because in truth, we don't stir ourselves awake. It's God who stirs us awake. For me, I wasn't even looking. I wasn't on a spiritual pathway. I wasn't practicing any religion. I wasn't interested in anything spiritual or religious or metaphysical at all. I was caught up in doing my life, just finishing college and into all my routines. But then, I remember that literally it's 30 years ago now, towards the end of October, November, December of 1988, that something inside of me changed. Something shifted, and I was aware of it. In my inner awareness inside of myself, and knowing of myself on this level, I felt and was very aware of something changing and shifting, and I did not know what it was. It was so noticeable, even all my friends around me said, "What is going on with you?" And I literally had to say, "I don't know. I'm aware of it too. Something changed, and I don't know what it is." That wasn't me doing it. That was the Holy Spirit now bringing me awake, because it was time for my soul to begin the journey. That's what I'm trying to say here. When it is time, we each are marked. We have a timing. We have a journey to fulfill. And when that journey is fulfilled and it's time, that's when that mark comes alive, when God begins to flip the switch on. And it shifts us and moves us so that we begin the real search. The real search comes from within. It's not a mental action. So many people get caught up in the mind and trying to read books and scriptures and feed the intellect. It becomes an academic study. That is not a spiritual movement. That's a movement of the mind. The real spiritual movement is truly when God calls the soul home, and we respond to that, and then begin our search in earnest, and that's when we'll begin to now look and read and go to all kinds of different groups. That's what I did. I don't know what happened to me, so I just started asking. I started reading. I started talking to people. I went to all kinds of different groups and churches. I was on a search. Because I was trying to find an answer to what was that changed inside of me. Not by my wanting it to, but just because it did on its own accord. And so we want to pay attention to that inner stirring, that inner calling, that inner movement. Is it something we are responding to? Or is it something we are trying to make happen? Because the true calling of spirit is a response to, not a making something happen. That's why I say the action of meditation, we're not trying to make anything happen here. We're simply coming present, focused, opening and making ourselves available for the opportunity to experience God's grace and that upliftment and awakening and whatever and however God wants to unfold us, that we surrender and make ourselves available, not that we try to control and direct, but rather we let go of control and direction and look to God to direct and move us along. And it's funny because I had heard these words after all the first few years, just taking in everything I could. I call it my joke now because I finished my bachelor's degree and I began right away my master's degree. Really? Pun intended. And I studied more than I ever did when I was going to school. I mean, hours a day just reading and listening and meditating, just wanting to know so bad to answer whatever that was inside that was stirred awake. And so I just kept moving with that. And then over the years, of course, because in the beginning, we have an awakening, a stirring, an experience, something that inspires us. And so we begin to pursue it in earnest because we want to. There's a longing now. We know it's beginning to get answered. It's sparked. And we know there's something there that we're not happy unless we are chasing after it. Just like we would anything in the world, same thing here, but this one is in the inner. We chase after looking for those places in the world that seem to be in alignment and support what we're chasing after within ourselves. And that's good, because there is the outer reflection that is going to support us in that inner search, to remind us. Those words are meant to reflect back to us, to help remind us to look within. But ultimately, we have to come to that place of surrender. And so the first several years of my pursuing enthusiastically, that inner movement and wanting to then, now as I read more, well, now I started feeding the mind with a lot of information. And all the information I was reading from so many sources, I wanted it all. And I would meditate for hours every day, trying to experience all these things I read about and heard about, trying to make it happen. Even in the beginning, this first book I heard about astral travel, getting out of body stuff, I remember, how did astral travel in 30 days? And my God, I did it. I read that book every day, did the meditation for an hour like they prescribed. Every single day, and I was pushing and moving the energy, and I could feel it moving, but it would never go anywhere. And literally on the 30th day, well, it did say how to astral travel in 30 days. So literally, I'm not kidding you, on the 30th day, I did the meditation, thought, this is it. This is the 30th day. They said in the book, in 30 days, it's got to happen today because I haven't gotten out of body yet. I did that meditation, and I worked it, and I felt all these energies moving. Didn't get out of body. I was pretty disappointed. And I was pretty tired, too, at that time, because I had an early morning, and I was tired, and I had time to take a nap. So I thought, oh, well, I'll just take a nap, go on after this. Didn't happen. Turned on my side, went to sleep. As soon as I went to sleep, popped out of body. I went, oh, my God. I was out of body. I was totally as real as like this is physically. I was floating in midair. I looked at my stuff, went, oh, my God, and boom, right back in the body. Just like that. Because I was so excited and surprised that it actually happened and that it was real. Not something of the imagination or somebody fantasized and it was some big daydream, but it was real. It was more real than the physical experience, and that's what was so wild. And that's all it took, and I haven't stopped since. That was almost 30 years ago. That was the first big one that then kept me going. Because then I go, oh my God, if there is a reality beyond this physical, holy cow, there's a lot to explore. You know, I was hearing about it like in this book, they're talking about on their astral travels, the author who wrote it, saying he was going out to other planets in the solar system and all the stuff, visiting people physically, but from his astral body. I'm like, wow, that's cool. You can fly and go do all this. Well, I didn't have that. I was having other experiences beyond the physical. I didn't realize at the time, though, there were all these multi-dimensions. We talk about in here the physical, the astral, the causal, the mental, the etheric, the soul, and then the ocean of loving of God's beingness. I didn't know about that then. I only knew about the first level, the astral realm. That's pretty wild, the realm of imagination and all that goes on there. It's one thing to imagine while we're in the body. It's another thing to go out of body into the astral realm and be conscious and aware like we are here physically. And that inspires me to this day to really know the reality of these other dimensions, places, experiences beyond the physical. To know that, and to know there's a way by which we can experience that. Not just by chance, but by putting ourselves on the line doing the technique, the practice that it takes to have these experiences, or even if it's just an in-body awareness and a movement. It was just me who pursued the out-of-body because that was part of my inspiration, part of my journey of learning, so that I knew for myself there's a greater reality beyond this, physically. So even in that first 30-day experience, I learned, I worked it, push, and then I had to let go. I didn't get out of body till I let go. But I learned in the process, because I had repeated it many times after that first time. Oh my God, that inspired me to keep working it. And then every time I got out of body, which was about once a week on average, sometimes more, I would work it like I did, try to make it happen, and then I'd let go, and then like I was going to take a nap. And it was always in the letting go that it would happen. But I realized the only time it did happen is when I really worked it, when I really worked it and pushed on it. Because of all that enthusiasm of wanting to know and experience. Well, what I didn't realize at the time, that was actually building an energy, building up within myself this energy of loving that would actually pierce through the veil of forgetfulness and wake me up on the other side. And that's when I learned the power of the name. When we focus in meditation on that sacred name and repeat it over and over and over and over, the power of that name builds up an energy field of loving in our consciousness. And it is that loving that dissolves and breaks through all those veils that have encased the soul to make it forget who it is and where it came from. That's a great learning right there in the beginning before I even knew about this pathway. I found out about this pathway just a few months after that. But I was already on the journey. It was time, obviously. God brought me awake, but then I pursued by taking action and learned how to focus, how to pursue God. So I learned from the very beginning there the way that it works, how to get out of body, how to open the door. But then as I started having more of these out-of-body experiences, I always heard the phrases, go towards the light, listen and follow the sound, look for the spiritual teachers or an angel or a guide. So I always did. When I'd get out of body, I would look and I always try to go out, I'd always look up, where's the brightest light, and try to fly towards it. I do to this day. Well, not as much. I've learned to surrender. That's kind of where I'm going with the story, though. Spoiler alert. So even when I was out, first I was in the body trying to get out and force it, and I'd let go and get out. But then when I got out, I'd try to force myself to go to God. I'm going to go to God now. I'm going to go to that greatest light in the sky or space or wherever I was. And man, I would make myself fly up there just like I was meditating and push and push to make it happen. And I could actually fly for a ways towards that light. But then at some point, every time, at some point, I'd run out of energy. Literally, I'd fly, and literally it's like all the energy was gone that was propelling me. And as soon as the energy was gone, I'd start falling. I mean, I'd just fall. Oh my God, that's disturbing. Can you imagine jumping off a 2-mile-high mountain and just waiting to land and go splat? Well, that happened to me every week. It's like, oh my God, the falling is what? One of the most scary experiences. You feel like you're going to die, you're going to get hurt, literally go splat. Well, I went splat so many times. And so many times I went through the ground and kept flying. And even when I did hit the ground and go splat, I wasn't dead. And then other times after I finally went through everything you could, it's like Groundhog Day, you know the movie? Remember when he died over and over and did all these crazy things? Literally, it's just like that. Over and over until you realize you're eternal. some point you realize you're eternal and you realize nothing can kill you, let alone harm you. The body can be harmed, but not the soul. Not one bit. And that's why we'll go through all these experiences, to learn and to really know that we are eternal and cannot be harmed or destroyed in any way. We never, ever, ever lose ourselves in the knowing of who we are. That's the only thing that is impossible, is that. So as I kept having these out-of-body experiences and would fly towards the sun and fall, and eventually after I had so, for years, after falling so many times, well, I didn't go splat every time. After I learned after a little while that I could not control it, I would push and push, trying to control my ascent up into the light. And then when the energy would run out and I'd start to fall, I realized, I can't control this. How come I can't do this? I thought I had the power. Everybody says you have the power within you. Well, I have the power with me. I had the power within me. It was projecting me to God, and then all of a sudden it's gone. Where'd the power go? I ran out. But then falling again. And sometimes when I'd start falling, all of a sudden this other presence would come in and start moving me around into these other worlds. Just like this physical one, a lot of them were like this, but a lot of them were different from the physical. But this presence would move me around. Like if I were falling from the sky, coming down literally the physical level, and then literally this presence would be literally moving me along streets and through different houses and buildings and people. And that was actually very interesting. But I realized after a little while that's going on, at first I was just fascinated that this is going on. I'm having these experiences. This is wild. But then after a while, after a few years, I realized I don't have any control. Every time I try to control it, I never get to where I want to go. And then I run out of energy. And then after I fall for a while, and if I don't go splat or I don't go through the ground or whatever, all of a sudden this presence comes in and starts moving me around. Well, then I realized this presence, what is this presence moving me around? And then when I started moving me one time, I started to try to get free of it. I thought I was possessed and controlled by some dark entity controlling me, moving me around that wouldn't let me go up into the light. I literally thought that for a while, like, what is this energy? I couldn't see it. I was aware of it. I could feel it. I was aware of it. So I thought I was being controlled now. And so many times I struggled with that, tried to break free, literally tried to break free of its hold and tried to look, because I'd often feel it behind me, tried to look and see who or what it was, and I could never. And then finally one day, probably about 5-6 years into the process, finally I said, you know what? I am done struggling with this. I literally was out of body, having an experience, flying again, actually it's kind of down a dirt road, like, but towards the light. I know I was moving towards God. It's always so it's aware, like I was moving towards God. I just had this knowing. And one day I was just moving along, just like so many times, and I finally felt, oh, there's this presence moving me again. I never get to where I really want to go, and I'm always controlled by this thing. And I tried to struggle and break free of it again, and I couldn't. So I finally just gave up. I said, I give up. I give up. Well, many times in the past I'd said, yeah, I let go, I surrender, I give up. Well, this time I really did. After 6 years of struggling with this, I finally did give up. In that experience, I literally just said, I give up. And then I felt inside of my being a true letting go, where I really did let go. It's one thing to say something, but it's another when you really do it out of your beingness. That's what I'm talking about. That is the difference between reading and listening about spirit and spiritual things and doing it and experiencing it. And that's important to understand. So you don't mislead or kid yourself, but you go with the reality of what's going on, not your make-believe. Because we all have make-believe and fantasies of what we think it's supposed to be or should be or whatever. And I did too. But then the reality of it is a whole different experience. So that day I finally let go, an out-of-body experience. I let go. Should I give up? And just like that, as soon as I felt myself literally, internally just let go, all of a sudden, the energy turned me around, because this is the other thing I forgot to say. I always fly backwards. For all those years, I was flying backwards. I'd be flying towards something, but backing into it and seeing, like sitting in the back of a car looking where you've been rather than where you're going. So all these years that I'd been flying even upwards or down or wherever, I was always flying backwards. But that day I let go, flying backwards again, watching this road going, not knowing where it's going, but aware that I'm like, okay, I know I'm moving towards God. I just can't see it. But I can see it as we go by it, as it's going behind us now. But when I finally let go of trying to control it, trying to get free of it, trying to do anything, all of a sudden that energy just turned me around, faced directly to where we were going. And then revealed itself to me. And literally, it was a hand from the elbow down, a hand of light that I was sitting in. All those years, I had been sitting in that hand, and that hand was moving me around. And when I saw that hand, all of a sudden I heard a voice, and I knew whose voice that is and was. And that voice, every soul knows. I'm trying not to cry right now. When you actually hear God talk to you, and you get to talk back, not talk back as in talk back, but literally have a conversation. Literally, it was, hi, Brian. I said, hi, God. And we literally started talking. When you realize and have this experience that is so real and know that truth, that you, every single one of us, is actually sitting in the hand of God and we just don't even know it. That through all of our experience, that hand is literally guiding us and carrying us through everything. We have a hard time because we don't understand when we go through the challenges and the hardships, whether on this level or any level. So I said I felt like it was controlling me, it possessed me. Well, it was, but it was the hand of God. When we truly surrender and give ourselves to God's will, well, one day we're going to find out we really meant it. That we didn't just say it and then try chain it to get our way and what we want God to give us. But when we really say it and mean it, that God will then now do that with us and for us. We just won't realize it until the day we really give up and God then reveals himself to us. That was a day that my life changed more than that first time 30 years ago. 30 years ago, I began the pursuit. And then years later, with that experience, I knew the truth. That was before I even was up in the soul realm, in the realms of spirit. That's when God revealed itself to me And at that point, when I surrendered, I knew then, okay. Didn't take long after that. So if you really want to know God, at some point you do have to surrender completely. But also it's important to realize the actions you need to take so that you can give God the opportunity to bring you home. There is a two-way street here, a two-way process. It is a relationship with God. I'm here, Jim's here, any teacher's here to help develop that with you, for you to develop your relationship with God. That's what we're here for. We're here to share with you the teachings, the technique, and to give you that sacred name. It's always been taught there's only three things you need on this pathway. It's always three, this Trinity action that God just loves. You need the master, you need the mantra, and you need the meditation. The master is the one that God empowers that sacred name with, the living word. That living word that comes through the vehicle is shared with the soul and is given the mantra or the sacred name of God to be anchored in the consciousness here. And with that mantra, that sacred name, then as we meditate, the third action, the meditation now, that is our responsibility. The reflection in the world, the master represents God, the sacred name represents the Holy Spirit, and the meditation now is you, the soul, your responsibility to take what God has given you and now apply it and put it to practice so that you can do your part in developing that relationship with God yourself. God doesn't do it for you. The master doesn't do it for you. They give you everything you need to do it yourself. It's weird, isn't it? Because here I'm saying now you have to do it yourself, but then at some point you have to completely surrender yourself and let God do it for you. That's the dichotomy and the duality of all this. It is a strange process that I know is often confusing. But if you can just understand in the simple storyline I just shared, with what you receive, you've got to make an effort. And then as you make your effort, you bring yourself to the place of openness and availability for God. And then when you've done that, you let go and surrender completely. And now God, literally sitting in the hand of God, will do the rest and bring you home. But in bringing you home, God is going to bring you through all these experiences, through all these different realms, through all your different fantasies, through all your emotions, through all your thoughts, and through that great void, the unconscious, where there's nothing there. So you leave it all behind. And that all that remains is the divine spark of who you are, the soul. That is all that remains in the hand of God as you go through that void. And now into the soul realm, which is the true Garden of Eden, the true spiritual kingdom that every religion talks about. There's truly a spiritual kingdom. Even as Jesus said, my home is not of this world. This world is not the home for any of us. We're just on a journey. We're taking a trip. We left the Garden of Eden, went on a field trip, took a tour through all this physical creation, literally. But then, after a while, you get homesick. But you've been on the tour for so long now, you kind of forgot where you started or when you started, or even where you're at. But at some point, when it's really time, God's going to really awaken you and begin the process of bringing you home. It really is God bringing us home. But in that process of God bringing us home, we have our part to do. So it's important to understand what that is, how we do it. But most important is that we do it. That way it's not just getting the information or the tools or the techniques, but then really applying all of that. That's how we build relationship, the giving and the receiving. It is that back and forth of receiving God's loving and us loving God. That's really all this is about. But in that simple process of giving and receiving and that loving back and forth between us and God, that's what the Holy Spirit is. It's that channel between us and God. And it is through that Holy Spirit that as we love God and open and allow God to love us, that we are brought into that spiritual kingdom, that river of loving. It literally is amazing, a river of light and sound that transcends through every level of creation, starting right here. That's why as you even meditate here on the sacred name, you can see that purple light or the white light. That light is the river of loving. That is the Holy Spirit. You see it, you feel it, the peace, the loving, the presence, that is the divine presence. While we're in the body, it just seems peaceful. It's just kind of a purplish, whitish light. No big deal, right? Well, in the body, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal. It just feels nice. But if you can really focus into it and let yourself go into it, then that light will lift you out of the body and carry you into all these different experiences and eventually arriving truly back home. That's the spiritual journey. But the goal is really the destination. Enjoy the journey. We're going to have it whether we like it or not, the bad and the good. But it is all with purpose. An intention. And there is a destination. But even in the destination, even once we arrive there, there's always more to experience because believe me, there's a lot more to God's creation and His kingdom than just this physical one. It's just the physical is where we find ourselves at this time. And so in this time, in this place, we have the opportunity to really practice the way that has always been taught and here through every major religion, through every spiritual teacher, always has been for thousands and millions of years on this planet and many others. Believe me, it is so vast, it is incredible. But if you want to know that like I do, you just do the meditation. You allow yourself to have the experience and God will reveal to you and bring you into whatever is meant for you in your journey, for you to experience, for you to learn, for you to awaken to. It'll be similar for all of us, but of course there'll be the differences, just like we all have differences in our own details of our lives here. And so it is for our journey through the different realms and the spiritual creations. But yet it's going to be all the same. We're all experiencing the physical realm. So it's all the same for all of us. But which parts of this physical realm do we get to see and experience where others may not? That's the difference. But yet it's still all the same realm. And some things we share together and some things we don't. It's very practical. This realm is just a reflection of spiritual realms. Looks very similar when you have these out-of-body experiences in other creations. A lot of it looks a lot like here. Because this came out of a reflection from above. So, boy, it's been feeling good to cry the last couple classes. But that crying with that love coming through is always the best. And it's funny because every time that I experience with God directly, I always end up crying the tears of loving. Every time, it's always happened that way. Because boy, when you are in that divine presence, there's nothing but tears of gratitude and joy, and the loving is just, it's not overwhelming, but it's very, very full. And that's what this is really about. There's a lot of different people, things out there channeling and doing all kinds of things. And there's a lot of wonderful stuff, and there's a lot of scary, crazy stuff. I've dabbled in a lot of different things. But one thing I have learned is that when we're really being called home by God, God is going to bring us to exactly where we need to be, to experience whatever we're meant to learn. And when it's really time, we are going to find this pathway or one just like it, because it is that avenue by which God gives everything to the soul and the physical creation to walk that journey. Or really, it's to fly. It's mostly flying. It's been my experience. And yeah, what about all the other teachers and angels and beings and guides? Yeah, that's all part of the journey. You don't hear us talk a lot about that here, obviously, because why? Because a lot of other teachers and angels and guides are for the soul that is in the recycling program, the reincarnation. When we're still meant to have more lifetimes, to have more experience, because the soul's not ready to go home yet, all the spiritual guides, all the other beings and teachers, ascended masters, and all these things we hear, those are all there as part of God's program to support the soul on its journey. But when the soul is ready to go home, all of that changes. That's where the difference is with the path to sun and light. What greater guide is there than God directly? Well, that is ultimately, for every soul, the destination is that direct union with God. But when it is time for the direct union, there is not the need for the intercessories or the intermediaries. There's just the need. Most people say, well, what about the master? Aren't you an intermediary? Uh-uh. The master is to give that living word, the sacred name, to the soul. It's not the master. It is the Holy Spirit. It is God's loving directly. But in the physical, we just need the words, the teachings, the actions. We need to get that somehow. So the master here just gives all that on the physical. But it's a direct relationship between you and God, not between me and you and God, between you and God. I'm just here to minister to that action, to support it, to give clarification, understanding, guidance, and the names itself. So we understand the relationship between the teacher and the student. It's set up in a very purposeful way, very practical way. But it's really up to the student. When I was the student, still am, never stops. But when I really started, before I woke up finally, same thing. I do exactly the same thing that I'm sharing now. So I learned. But that's what we're all doing. And it's good to keep it simple and practical. Just learning, but then taking what you've learned and now doing your homework and getting the result that goes with that. And just be clear that this really is about your souls returning home to God. And then when you're given that action of the Holy Spirit works directly with you. When you have that action of the Holy Spirit and whichever teacher God provides you to support you in that, there's not the need for all the other angels and guides. Oh, you'll see different angels and guides on your way home. And even the spirit guides you may have had this lifetime. I remember meeting mine on the inner levels when I was going home, and actually said goodbye to. We are done because I fulfilled what they were there to support me with. And in my action of going home on this path of sun and light, I remember one spirit guide actually said, because of what you're doing, I'm now going to incarnate and then get initiated in my next life. Wait, I thought a spirit guide for me. How come the roles just reversed? Well, that's what happens. When you are a soul on this journey of going home to God, it's really about you and God, not about channeling other entities or your spirit guides or your angels. Your spirit guides and angels actually start to line up and learn from you. Because you are a soul now on your way home. And that is actually a guiding light now to others. The higher you go, the brighter your light becomes, the more of a beacon you are for others as well. That's just a given, including other beings and angels and guides on the inner levels. Really not the angels. They all have a purpose that God laid out. It's different than a soul. That's why you don't really hear us in here talk about trying to be spiritual and be a guiding light to others, because we're not trying to do that. That's one of the differences on this path to sun and light. We're not a group that's trying to change the world and make things better. We're a group that is about the soul going home to God and leaving this world and going back to the true world of spirit. It's a very different process in action than anywhere else you're going to hear in the world. The path to sun and light is the only place you'll hear this kind of teaching. You'll hear others talk and use a lot of similar words, but I can tell you right now they won't be doing the same action. But if you go to a path to sun and light, no matter where it is in the world, it's going to be the same thing. Maybe a little different words because of the culture and how they're doing things in that tradition, but it's going to be the same action. So go have fun doing all your studies and exploring and stuff. But I'm just letting you know, when you're really meant to go home, you know that that path, that sacred name, is for you. And then it's really just up to you to answer the call with all your loving.